you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah!
Oh, hell yeah.
Matt Eberflus has told Assembled Bears Media that Caleb Williams and the starters will not play against... Ooh. I know, right? I know. I'm with you. And I know you really wanted it to happen. You disappointed?
Mildly, because I'm not surprised. You know, if I expected the starters, Caleb and a majority of the starters to see action, I'd be more disappointed. But this is where the league is going pretty much in modern football. So I'm not surprised by it, but I think with a rookie quarterback, he would benefit from a series or two. So I was hopeful.
1-0 here in the second inning. With men at first and second, the batter is Javier Baez.
And Javi is going to get a huge ovation here from the Cubs fans in his first time back here at Wrigley Field.
Javier standing outside the batter's box, takes off his helmet to acknowledge the fans.
I remember sitting with Dan McNeil in Mesa. Me and Mac were talking to Theo Epstein, spring training of 2014, I believe it was. And Mac said, when are we going to see Javi Baez? Fans need a cookie. Theo said, not trying to give you a cookie, trying to give you the whole meal. Then he got here and he was bad in 2015. That offseason, Matt Spiegel, was saying, trade him. Trade him to the Mets. The Mets have all the young arms. They need some young bats. And then 2016 comes and he's playing beautifully, and they win as he comes up and plays second base. And I said on Twitter one day, I said, my name is Matt, and I once wanted to trade Javi Baez for pitching. And then somebody made me a shirt that I'm wearing right now. They sent me this shirt.
That's what that is.
It says, my name is Matt, and I once wanted to trade Javi Baez for pitching.
And now, it's time for the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Gabe Ramirez!
Yo!
What up, young man?
Hanging in here, man. Excited to be chilling with you, Phil. I tweeted out that this will be the nicest 4 hours in radio.
Why? Because we're both nice people?
Yes.
Minimal
yelling.
Yeah, you know me.
Angry yelling.
You know me, though, man. I gotta mold my partner a little bit. If you're going to be too nice, then I'm going to unleash the inner a-hole.
Good.
I'm just going to let him fly.
People need to hear that occasionally from you.
You know, I've had thoughts for Tyler Ferengul and Robbie Triano that I've been holding back.
I can imagine.
Days.
3 days with... I deal with these guys all
You've
the time at night.
Back?
Oh, yeah. it hasn't felt like it.
I get them at night all the time. You finally get to get them right now, so you feel my pain sometimes.
It was painful to watch Javi Baez go 0-for-4 with four strikeouts. They call that the golden sombrero.
What was painful about that?
Well, if he had one more at bat, it would have been the platinum one. Because you get to the five. I like that guy. I like that guy. And even though I was sitting there with the wife and we're watching, you know, we had that and we had some speeches going on with the double screen action. We're watching and I wanted Javi to do good things. Not in the ninth inning when they were...
Now with a man on second.
Now with a man on second down two runs. But I wanted Javi to, like, represent. He cannot stop swinging at sliders that are very, very far away, and it's depressing.
It's frankly almost as if I'm in the twilight zone when I watch Javi bat, and it's not just last night, right? It's just in general, where it seems as though it's Groundhog Day. Everyone approaches it the same way. Slider in on the hands, just to kind of show it to him.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a fastball occasionally, maybe a fastball somewhere in there just to kind of throw you off. And then once I got two strikes on you, the rest of my pitches are sliders outside.
Yeah, it's just
blown away.
I know it's hard. It's very difficult to do. So there was that going on. And we're going to talk some baseball with Craig Counsell. It's our biweekly hit with the Cubs manager. Looking forward to talking to him in just a little bit. But you, I haven't talked to you like all month. I don't think, other than hanging out at the Fire game that we talked about in transition. Are all conversational roads leading you to the Bears and to Caleb Williams in your world?
Absolutely. It's everything I think about every day when I wake up and then when I go to bed. And I try to figure out if there's any other takes that I can find to, you know, just kind of add on top. But no, yeah, that's,
I snorted.
I'm rewatching, you know, the same seven plays from his performance against the Bills, and I'm going back and trying to dissect things.
Dude, you see those two other angles they had on Hard Knocks last night of the throw to Rome on the left side? You see those two other angles?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it is a good thing that this town needs in terms of the old sports-a-roo.
People are excited, but it surprises me that they're not more excited than they are. This is something that's been shocking to me. Because I think Caleb Williams, that we talk about expectations often. Where he's at and what the Bears fans want him to be is one thing. And then he comes out the first week, two straight drives, and puts points on the board. One of them, a lengthy drive. And for me, I saw that and I'm like, nope, nobody else is going crazy. Nobody's going crazy. And to me, I'm trying to contain myself, which I've been doing a great job of.
No, I, you know what it is? It's like, and I talked to somebody out of town this morning who's a huge Bears fan. He's like, well, yeah, I'm excited, but I just don't want to get my heart broken again. It's like Bears fans have that learned cynicism.
Yeah.
But this whole thing is coming together. It's like, and we'll talk about Hard Knocks at the 3 o'clock, in the 3 o'clock hour. But like a lot of showcase there on the defense, as there should be. We have not spent enough time on the defense. I want to apologize to the longtime listeners of Score Afternoons in these 3 days, because it's been a lot of Caleb. It's been a lot of Caleb. Yeah. And you know what? It's good and it's exciting, but there's a lot of other stuff to discuss, man.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into a lot of that during the course of the day. Adam Hoge's going to be on here at 4 o'clock. We'll talk to Mark Grody with an update from Bears practice, including some sound of some non-Caleb individuals. Like, there's a lot to get into about this football team, because I think they're going to be pretty good overall.
Yeah, not only are they going to be good, but it's like, you know, Caleb said, right? And what I learned is that this defense is good. And I think if they can bail him out, right, in certain situations where he's going to make his natural rookie mistakes, then I think that's what's going to allow the Bears to be better than what people are expecting.
Dude, it feels like it's kind of time to play complimentary football with all the different facets, but oh, by the way, it's also when the kid quarterback who might be the savior comes in, but he might not have to be the savior.
He should be good.
Because other parts of it are good. It's like that's what makes it so kind of tantalizing to me.
Yeah, because more often than not, you're saying to yourself, you think you need Caleb to throw 4,000 yards. You think you need Caleb to put up 30-some touchdowns, but you really don't.
I think you might not, and that's why I'm not going to be using those things as kind of measuring sticks along the way. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Back to the Bears at the top of the hour, but Craig Counsell is next. Tell a Cub fan friend here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Please welcome the manager, number 30, Craig Counsell.
Craig Counsell.
Nobody is interested in your takes, I promise. I promise.
God, that
I
checks promise. Out.
What are they tuning into right now?
This guy over here.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Brad was in New York to watch the World Series with the Diamondbacks, and he was with my wife, Michelle, and Michelle somehow sneaks Brad onto the family bus. The owner of the Diamondbacks gets on the bus as well, Jerry Colangelo. Jerry gives some little short speech, and it's very serious to the bus. Then the bus is just dead quiet. Brad starts a chant of, let's go D-backs, and then, you know, let's go D-backs, and then claps. Nobody's following along with Brad. And by the end of the bus ride, the whole bus is chanting and clapping, let's go D-backs. we end up winning the World Series. Anything to do with it, I don't know, but I know Jerry Colangelo has asked me about that and talked to me about it, so I always love it's classic Brad and how he operated.
Craig Counsell on 670 The Score.
That was an absolutely terrific moment from the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon last week. Craig Counsell telling that story about his friend, Brad Parkins. It is the afternoon show with Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score. There is no Danny. I mean, you know, he's just moved on to a different show. That's a different universe. It's on the eastern part of America. He's on television and such, and we wish him well. But we welcome Craig Counsell back to the show here on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. That was such great stuff that you shared last time. And then we need to follow up, Craig, on how that day felt on Saturday, because it was beautiful to watch from home. It was beautiful from others that we talked to at the ballpark. How did that all go down for you on Saturday there at Wrigley?
Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful day. I got to catch the first pitch from Brad's son, and Danny was out there as well on the mound, and talked to Brad's family pregame, and then the moment that, you know, it's always like when the other team kind of all stands up too, and they're excited to do it and happy to do it and honored to do it, and just the whole kind of stadium being in unison doing it, and knowing that they had loved ones and friends and family affected, and we're all kind of rooting for the same thing and trying to accomplish the same thing was a moment for sure. And I'm really proud to be a part of it.
That's cool. Yeah. More than $1 million raised. We don't have the final tally yet, but like just an incredible effort by all involved to get there. How did Jack Parkins do with the pitch? Danny threw one last year and it was just awful. Craig, so you should be glad you missed Danny's. Did Jack do okay?
Jack did very well. It was, you know, just like lightly thrown, made it easy on the catcher, on the fly, perfectly done.
Quite the opposite of what we saw from a little bit of Danny Parkins. Craig, great to talk to you. I saw you working a glove before the game. Did you just pull it out of the trunk or something? You know, is that what you had, or whose glove was that?
That's a good question.
That was Michael Bush's glove, actually. I went in and grabbed it from him. That's his like middle infielder glove, which isn't used very often.
Oh yeah, so it's the extra, but middle infielder, that's you. So you know what to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can still catch, Biggs, you know.
Thanks. How about throwing? Can you still throw as well?
Yeah, I can throw, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, you know.
He'll throw you out at first, Biggs. Yeah. You know.
He's activatable. Still activatable. With Craig Counsell here on Parkins and Spiegel. Nope, that's not the show anymore. See, I have to tip the swear jar every time I say that.
You should.
Yeah.
You're going to wear a rubber band around your wrist or something.
Exactly. Hector Neris seemed like an absolutely great dude, beloved. That can't be fun when it's time to say goodbye to a man like that, Craig.
No, I mean, never is. And Hector is a complete professional, is a great teacher for young players, like takes that part of his job, like, you know, no matter where he goes, it's how he's wired to act. You know, delivering bad news is always difficult. But the organization has to make a decision, and what we feel best is moving forward. And that's what we did.
And then obviously bad news for one person ends up being good news for some others when given the opportunity to close games for the Chicago Cubs. What's the approach then? I mean, obviously, you know, when you lose somebody on the back end of your bullpen like that, but you still have confidence in those that are there, what's that mindset like once that decision happens?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a number of guys from in the bullpen throwing the ball really well. So, you know, I think the closer is in our case will not just be like you are the closer and every single time that happens. There's going to be different guys doing it. Is it possible somebody emerges? Yes, that's certainly possible. But the guys that have been getting out in the big moments in the games will continue to do that. What inning it is, it might change. Last night, the way the game sequenced, it landed on Porter. Tonight it could be somebody else.
That's interesting. So how did Porter do, you think, in terms of not just...
How do you think he did?
It looked pretty good. I mean, leadoff leadoff double's a little scary, but that's one of the spots, though, Craig, where like, you got to make sure that a dude's got... He's got the character that he's got, you know, like the lack of anxiety, if you will, to handle it. So how do you feel like he came through the chance in on the human level in that way?
No, I think he did great. And I think he throws 97. He's got a really good slider, too.
Come on, man. We've seen people who throw 97 who can't handle it and freak out in that inning.
Did they have good sliders?
That's a good point. I don't know. You think the good slider was the difference between anxiety and no anxiety?
Especially if you know it's a good one. That's how you know it's good. Craig, that
come
was
on, Gabe, he's driving me crazy. I know they're out getters.
But what do you want him to say? He was good.
I just want him to admit that the ninth inning's different sometimes. That it's different for people.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happens in the ninth inning is you get faced with different things that maybe you don't in the other innings. That's what makes it different. But I think, you know, in our guys' cases, like, you know, we feel like they've all passed those tests. And ultimately, like, is there something Porter Hodges is going to see on the mound that he's never seen before or experienced? Yeah, probably, you know, but that's okay, right? Like, that's all right. Like, young players will have success, and there's young players all over the league having success in different roles. So, you know, we have it's the confidence that Porter can handle maybe the unknown that's going to get thrown at him. I have confidence he can do that.
When we're talking about the back in the bullpen right there, but let's go to the front, right? Your starter, Javier Assad, yesterday, you know, finds himself in that situation in the sixth where he's got man on first and second, but he started the inning with 67 pitches. You knew he still had the good stuff. Talk about Javier and, you know, what he used and leaned on to get out of that situation.
Yeah, I thought Javi was like, this was his best version since maybe he went on the injured list. And really, it's just kind of getting back to a little more sound in his execution and competitive pitches. Like, I think he'd at times been giving the hitters some free pitches, like not making him responsible for, you know, three strikes or four balls, you know, like throwing some non-competitive pitches, essentially. And I thought he did a much better job of that last night. He does have this ability that, you know, it's hard to quantify. We can't quantify, but he's making pitches when it counts. And then that fourth inning when the leadoff triple, and then he proceeds to strike out the side, like, he made some great pitches. The pitch he struck out Parker Meadows, leadoff hitter, on was like his that comeback two seamer on the inside corner. And it was a beautiful pitch. I mean, just wonderful. Like, that's the Javi Assad pitch you should show. So he pitched really well last night, and he executed some pitches, like, just at a higher level than he had been.
I want to ask about, you know, the defense yesterday. It was amazing, right? When you're talking about the middle infield, Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner hooking up quite a bit. Tigers were 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. I know you made some adjustments to the outfield, but just talk about the defense as a whole and the rhythm that they're in currently right now.
Yeah, I mean, Dansby's been, you know, he's had a heck of a, like, we're going on 3 months now, 3.5 months, where he's been really fun to watch. You know, the plays he's making, like, his throwing accuracy has been awesome. Like, the sliding, kind of that his trademark play, that little sliding play to the backhand or last night to the forehand, those are fun to watch. And then he just gets up and he just, it's not like a cannon, but it's an accurate throw every time. And it's been fun to watch. I think he's played a brilliant shortstop, and you know, you see the gold gloves there. That's he's played gold glove shortstop.
So a couple weeks ago, Craig, maybe it was a month ago, I guess it was right before the deadline when Jed had sort of said something that felt like a concession, in terms of, like, we're going to go out and get stuff, but not for this year. And we asked you on this show, like, has anything changed for you guys? And you said, no, nothing's changed. And this team is still battling, and the standings still say that it's possible and it's plausible. Where's the belief for you? Where's the belief for the club right now in the opportunity that still stands before you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'd tell you it's in the same place.
you know, we're I don't know if we're not in a very different place from before the deadline to right now, and that, which means we're still in it. And I don't know if we've made a ton of progress, but we're still in it, and that means we still have a good stretch of baseball ahead of us to be right in it. So like that's inspiring, and you keep you use that, and you know on a daily basis it's different. It's just do your job today, but we know that we're a small good streak ahead of from being right there in it, and so that's how you keep going. And it helps everybody to keep going for sure, and that's how we got to operate.
Talking to Craig Counsell here on The Score. Back to the bullpen for a second. The revamping of this thing on the fly, so many problems in the first couple of months, and now so many of the faces have changed, and the whole thing is kind of cooking right now. Best bullpen ERA in baseball since June 1st. Is that a reflection of the collaboration between you and Jed and Carter? Is it fair to fans to look at that and say, this is a glimpse of how you guys work together and will in years to come?
Yeah, I mean, I think these guys have done a great job of, like, we've found some really good players to, that have, that's specifically Jorge Lopez and Tyson Miller, who have come in and done a wonderful job. I think some credit goes to coaching staff as well, and like helping guys like Porter develop. It's all important, but so it's an organizational effort to get to a better place. And some good things have happened in that area. We got, we got punched in the face at the beginning of the year in our bullpen. There's no question about it. Adbert's injury, Merriweather's injury, Almonte's injury, it punched us in the face. There's no question about it. It cost us some games. You got to figure a way out. You want to figure out as fast as you can. And we got to figure out, that's what you're trying to do. Figure out as fast as you possibly can. Hopefully it's not too late.
Yeah. Even, Justin Steele's injury in the beginning, having to shuffle things up there and maybe move guys around, obviously contributes to that, early season that you were just talking about. When you're looking at the team's performance this season though, what do you think has been the biggest surprise for you, Craig? Whether positive or something maybe you didn't anticipate. I mean, obviously, first year on the job with the Cubs, I mean, we're into a good portion of the season. Is there anything that surprised you?
Well, yeah, that's a tough, player-wise, I don't know if you're talking about that, but it's player-wise, I think Porter Hodge, like his emergence has been a pretty big surprise from where he started the season at. He's moved forward like in a big, big way. And that's been fun to watch. I think other guys, Ben Brown, a guy who was hurt right now, but he took a big step forward, I think, as well. So those players have been, I think on the pitching side, we've had some really pleasant surprises in terms of performance.
How about the quality of the interview questions? Have they been a surprise, positive or negative?
I don't know the answer to that one.
It's a bad question. That's why.
No,
you don't know how to answer.
Because what we said for his birthday, we're going to bring in a Gabe and not a Danny, and then we tried to make the questions good, and then it's
right.
Just like
happy.
I think Gabe's debut has been spectacular, but
somebody clip that, please.
I agree. Happy birthday, by the way. That's tremendous. What, you gonna celebrate with the ball game? I mean, do you do anything for him at this point? What do you do?
Today it's been somewhat unspectacular up to this point, but a win will make it a spectacular day.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it ramps forward during the course of this interview. Javi Baez back in the house last night. The MVP runner-up season for him in 2018. Look, we hated Yelich. I mean, we were like anti-Brewers, anti-Yelich. You can tell us now. Did you guys hate Javi during that season?
No. No, Javi was like always, I'm not sure why you'd hate Yelich either, but Javi was a fun player to watch play baseball. So as a, we're all fans, I'm even of guys on the other team or the guys that you hate losing to. And Javi was a really fun player to watch.
Okay.
So I always admired Javi's skills.
All right. Well, we can talk about Yelich some other time. But yeah, Javi, good one to admire. Just a couple more quickies here for you, Craig. I was up in the press box the other day, and people were talking about Pete Crow Armstrong. And, you know, it was some old baseball salts walking around the press box talking, and heard a name thrown around as, you know who PCA should emulate? They should bring in Brett Butler and let PCA watch him. And I'm thinking, wow, Brett Butler was a great, like, slappy leadoff hitter, crazy fast. Yeah. I think he topped out at, like, four homers or something like that. Will there ever be another leadoff hitter, another player like that? Because that's not what PCA is going to be asked to do at this point in the life cycle of baseball, is it?
No, that's not who that's, I think that's a bad comp for Pete, to be honest with you. I would not like use that as who Pete should aspire to be or like maybe model his game after. Brett was really good at some things for sure. Absolutely. He was a very good base stealer. He was an exceptional bunter. He did a good job, like, drawn walks, right? As well.
Yes.
But I think Pete's just a little bit of different player. The blessing and the curse for Pete is that he is uber talented, and that makes people think he can do everything, or just be great at one thing, right? And like development, some of development is just, it's a little bit organic. Like it's, he as he goes, and we're going to like learn things about Pete, and he's going to learn things about himself. And we'll kind of like put some guardrails on him and steer him in the right direction. But while he's capable of doing everything, like why not shoot for that? We should shoot for that. Absolutely. And so I think Pete is capable of that. We want it now. Pete wants it now. It's hard, a little harder than that. But he's making progress, and that's the main, and he's making progress really in all areas to me. And that's the positive thing.
Yeah. It's been fun to watch. There's the guy playing next to him these days, Cody Bellinger, that guy offensively, he can do everything. He's one of those guys who can do everything for Pete to watch, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's the player that has put up some seasons that, check every box for absolutely.
Craig Counsell, happy birthday. Thank you for the time. And, congrats on getting to talk to Gabe Ramirez. I know it's a big day.
You're welcome, Craig.
It's a big day for you.
Spectacular debut, Gabe. Thank you for letting me happen on your birthday. Best birthday gift ever, Steve.
Cut that too.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it, man. We'll see you.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you. That's Craig Counsell right there on
Speaks.
The
I wanted to ask him, and I didn't get a chance. Hopefully I'll be back in 2 weeks. It's like, I wonder what a guy like Craig Counsell tells Pete Crow Armstrong with like his tenacity, right? When he's tracking down balls, especially short, right? When he's running as fast as he possibly can, because he's trying to get everywhere he can. Is it, hey, maybe don't attack them all that same? Like, I wonder what that conversation is like. Or is it, hey, no, I'll balls to the wall every single time. Mm-hmm. I want you attacking that full speed because of his speed, because of his talent. Like, I wonder what that conversation is like.
I think defensively he lets him work it out with the other players, and we've seen it with some bumpy moments that one where Pete called off Nico and came in and the ball dropped because Pete had to slide. Now he and Nico have worked it out. I think Pete and Ian Happ have worked it out there. And now he's got Bellinger next to him and those guys will work it out. I think it's great for Pete that Seiya Suzuki's not playing right field.
Yeah.
Frankly. Yeah. I think it's great because he was trying to cover everything out in that direction because Seiya has looked like a right fielder who needs the help. Bellinger's the dude, man. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen. He might end up opting out if he continues to have the resurgence that he's having since the injury. But, I mean, obviously the big double last night and gets thrown out trying to stretch it. He thought the throw was going to go home. And it did not. But he's just... He's that guy who's capable of swinging for the fences and then also using bat control and going the opposite way and just poking the ball, and he runs the bases beautifully. I mean, that is a complete baseball player with a very unique skill set, and there's very few guys like that.
And that's why he had a great season last year. That's why he's duplicating it this year. And then, you look at him in right field, hey, you're going to get a couple more innings over there to be able to,
time those bounces off the walls a little bit better in right field so they don't land over your head, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're giving up that leadoff triple. But those things happen. But I think you're right about Cody on one side and Hap on the other, where they understand Pete Carr Armstrong is going to aggressively attack any baseball. So they know to aggressively back him up in those instances in the event that he's not able to come up with.
Because they're calm, good outfielders. Yes. Seiya showed us the anxiety. We saw it eventually. And it's like, it just could not, it's just, you know, it just could not function at a, how about the quality of the interview questions? Have they been a surprise, positive or negative?
I don't know the answer to that one.
It's like this, Craig.
You know why? It's a bad question. That's why.
No,
why you don't know what I answer.
Because what we said was for his birthday, we're going to bring in a Gabe and not a Danny. And then we tried to make the questions good. And then it's right. Just like.
Happy.
I mean, I think Gabe's debut has been spectacular, but.
Somebody clip that, please.
I agree. Happy birthday, by the way. That's tremendous. What, you gonna celebrate with the ball game? I mean, do you do anything for him at this point? What do you do?
Today it's been somewhat unspectacular up to this point, but a win will make it a spectacular day.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it ramps forward during the course of this interview. Javi Baez back in the house last night. The MVP runner-up season for him in 2018. Look, we hated Yelich. I mean, we were like anti-Brewers, anti-Yelich. You can tell us now. Did you guys hate Javi during that season?
No. No, Javi was like always. I'm not sure why you'd hate Yelich either, but Javi was a fun player to watch play baseball. So, as a, you know, like we're all fans, like, you know, I'm even of guys on the other team or the guys that you hate losing to. And Javi was a really fun player to watch.
Okay.
So I always admired Javi's skills.
All right. Well, we can talk about Yelich some other time. But yeah, Javi, good one to admire. Just a couple more quickies here for you, Craig. I was up in the press box the other day, and people were talking about Pete Crow Armstrong. And, you know, it was some old baseball salts walking around the press box talking and heard a name thrown around as, you know who PCA should emulate? They should bring in Brett Butler and let PCA watch him. And I'm thinking, wow. Brett Butler was a great, like, slappy leadoff hitter, crazy fast. Yeah. I think he topped out at like four homers or something like that. Will there ever be another leadoff hitter, another player like that? Because that's not what PCA is going to be asked to do at this point in the life cycle of baseball, is it?
No, that's not who. That's, I think that's a bad comp for Pete. To be honest with you, I would not like use that as who Pete should aspire to be or like maybe model his game after. Brett was really good at some things for sure. Absolutely. He was a very good base stealer. He was an exceptional bunter. He did a good job like drawing walks, right? As well.
Yes.
But I think Pete's just a little bit of a different player. The blessing and the curse for Pete is that he is uber talented, and that makes people think he can do everything, or just be great at one thing, right? And like development, some of development is just, it's a little bit organic. Like it's, you know, as he goes, and we're going to like learn things about Pete, and he's going to learn things about himself. And we'll kind of like put some guardrails on him and steer him in the right direction. But while he's capable of doing everything, like, why not shoot for that? We should shoot for that. Absolutely. And so I think Pete is capable of that. We want it now. Pete wants it now. It's hard, a little harder than that. But he's making progress, and that's the main, and he's making progress really in all areas to me. And that's the positive thing.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. There's the guy playing next to him these days, Cody Bellinger. That guy offensively, he can do everything. He's one of those guys who can do everything for Pete to watch, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the player that has put up some seasons that, check every box for absolutely.
Craig Counsell, happy birthday. thank you for the time. And, you know, congrats on getting to talk to Gabe Ramirez. I know it's a big day.
You're welcome, Craig.
It's a big day for you.
Spectacular debut, Gabe. Thank you for letting me happen on your birthday. Best birthday gift I've received.
Cut that too.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it, man. We'll see you.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you. That's Craig Council right there on the
Speaks.
Store.
I wanted to ask him, and I didn't get a chance. Hopefully I'll be back in 2 weeks. It's like, I wonder what a guy like Craig Council tells Pete Carr Armstrong and with like his tenacity, right? When he's tracking down balls, especially short, right? When he's running as fast as he possibly can, because he's trying to get everywhere he can. Is it, hey, maybe you don't attack them all that same. Like, I wonder what that conversation is like. Or is it, hey, no, I'll balls to the wall every single time. Mm-hmm. I want you attacking that full speed, because of his talent. Like, I wonder what that conversation is like.
I think defensively, he lets him work it out with the other players. And we've seen it with some bumpy moments that one where Pete called off Nico and came in and the ball dropped because Pete had to slide. Now he and Nico have worked it out. I think Pete and Ian Happ have worked it out there. And now he's got Bellinger next to him and those guys will work it out. I think it's great for Pete that Seiya Suzuki's not playing right field.
Yeah.
Frankly. I think it's great because he was trying to cover everything out in that direction because Seiya has looked like a right fielder who needs the help. Bellinger's the dude, man. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen. He might end up opting out if he continues to have the resurgence that he's having since the injury. But, I mean, obviously the big double last night and gets thrown out trying to stretch it. He thought the throw was going to go home. And it did not. But he's just... He's that guy who's capable of swinging for the fences and then also using bat control and going the opposite way and just poking the ball, and he runs the bases beautifully. I mean, that is a complete baseball player with a very unique skill set, and there's very few guys like that.
And that's why he had a great season last year. That's why he's duplicating it this year. And then, you know, you look at him in right field, you're going to get a couple more innings over there to be able to, you know, time those bounces off the walls a little bit better in right field so they don't land over your head, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're giving up that leadoff triple. But those things happen. But I think you're right about Cody on one side and Happ on the other, where they understand Pete Carr Armstrong is going to aggressively attack any baseball. So they know to aggressively back him up in those instances in the event that he's not able to come up with.
Because they're calm, good outfielders. Yes. Seiya showed us the anxiety. We saw it eventually. And it's like, it just could not... It's just, you know, it just could not function at a very high level, unfortunately. So I love that he's the full-time DH. Man, it's too little, and it's probably too late. It's technically not, but, you know, the way they're playing, the defense is good enough.
Yes.
a lot of times. The bullpen is good enough almost all the
yes.
time. The starting pitching is good enough.
This is
almost
weird.
All the time.
I'm in and you're out. This is weird on the Cubs.
I mean, they're 6-4 in their last 10.
But when you look at the teams that are above them in the wild card, no team is 6-4. Or maybe they're already one. But, nobody's better than that.
But they're far back, man.
This is weird, Speaks. I don't like this, Speaks. Usually it's you're on the deep end and I'm trying to throw you a lifeboat.
I think they're as good or better than the San Francisco Giants. I don't know if they're better than the Mets. The record says no, and when they've played each other face up, I've looked like, oh, the Mets look more of a button-up team than the Cubs do. They're not better than the Braves. I mean, they got to catch Braves, Mets, and Giants. It feels implausible right now. Because every time they take two steps forward, they take a step back, just like they did against Toronto. You got to sweep these series now, man. They got 14 more against these crappy teams before the Yankees come here, and then they go west for the Dodgers. Hello. So these 14 games, now 15 total. I was saying before yesterday, 12-3. Told Nico to go 12-3, right, in these 15 games.
They're, very possible.
They're 1-0. It is possible. But they've backed themselves into having to do it. And guess what? Even if they go 12-3, they still might not be sitting in a wild card spot in 14 days. But there is time. I would love for a Cubs September push to be happening while we're celebrating the Bears' debut as well.
I'm gonna get you on this side before the end of the show.
Really?
Yeah, I am. Because this does not feel right. This does not feel right. I'm convincing you that the Cubs will find a way to sneak into the playoffs.
That's what you think?
Yes.
That's what you really think?
That's where the Cubs are at right now, right? And over the course of the last few weeks, the energy, right, of this squad is at an all-time high. not an all-time, but at a season high.
Season high for
sure. Season high for sure. And that's where you need to be at this point of the season when you want to sneak into the wild card.
Look at
We've seen it happen time and time again.
I didn't know.
By the end of the show, Speaks.
My goodness. Yeah, is this where I should talk about Craig Timber?
Look at this. You
know what Craig Timber is?
Yeah, I've heard of, and Craig Tober, somebody told me about that too.
Yeah.
I'm in. This is the thing. You let me do hit and run one day, you let me do hit and run on Sunday, and now I'm in on the Cubs, and I'm trying to rope you back in.
I got text. I'm at the ballpark doing pre-post of the fifth on Sunday. Gabe is doing hit and run. I was a guest on my own show on Sunday, which is a delight. But I'm getting texts during the show like, why is there so much football on your radio show?
Dude.
Why is there so much football?
You've been talking about football for an hour. I was like, I did one segment.
Yeah, no.
Football.
They get angry.
I get it. And I apologize to them.
The hit and run people, they get angry.
Oh, trust me.
They want theirs. And they rage against the dying of the light that is the baseball season at this point in August.
Trust me, I heard three soliloquies talking about just that.
You did? So,
of course I did. Gabe, somebody was like, Gabe, da-da-da. And I was like, look, I apologized. I was told to.
Don't apologize.
I'm the first live show since the Bears preseason game. I'm just throwing this in there.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, I appreciate you telling us that. And I appreciate you responding. Because all we want is baseball talk at 8 a.m.
I 9 a.m. And what's funny is I'm at the ballpark. You know what everybody was talking about there?
Bears.
Bears. Yeah. Bears and Caleb Williams. Let's talk about those Bears. Hard Knocks, Episode 3. Some takeaways from me, some takeaways from Gabe. Later next hour, Roy Wood Jr. will be on the show. A very funny and delightful man. Adam Hoge in 1 hour from now from CHGO on all things Bears as well. Keep it here at Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.